name of Jesus. Today I'd like to bring to your attention a call to remembrance. And I feel like Brother Arnold already started it off well with his stories. And he looked at history and what history teaches us. And I want to look at the Word and what God, what's important to God, what has been important to God. And I'm actually going to be in the Old Testament some, and I'd like to reference the New Testament, but I'm trusting that I want for you to think about, as we look at some of these Old Testament scriptures, I want for you to think about what in the New Testament correlates with the Old Testament. The Old Testament is a type and a shadow, and it is an example or a picture for us about God's heart and what God wants. Just to start out here, I'm going to read in Joshua chapter 1. And it starts out this way. It says, "Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying." So Joshua was Moses' minister, and we're breaking in time and history that when after Moses died. I want you to think about the reality that you are in history as well. You are in a time and place in history that is just as alive and as it was back in these days. It's all part of eternity. It's all part of God's story. God made you. He's given you gifts and abilities and talents. And I want you to consider with me where we are in history and what we can learn from times past in history. If I can impress on you the reality that you are here today for a reason, and that you will make an impression, whether positive or negative. And as we were taught in the onset about the Spirit of God being in us and working through us, I hope to get to some of those scriptures, Lord willing, as well. Let's read on here. Verse 2, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto a land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this great Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and on to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast." He's telling Joshua to go take the land. And if you know the story, we realize that the promise was delayed because of unbelief. They had left Egypt and had been promised the promised land, but because of unbelief, they had to wander around in the wilderness for 40 years. And now we pick up the story, and Joshua is commanded to cross over and to take the land. I want you to consider the people that have gone on before you and the people that are coming after you, and the effect that you might have on their life, and the calling that is on your life, even just bringing a cup of cold water to someone. Verse 6, "Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. He's commanding Joshua to take heed to what's happening and to take heed to the law. Or in other words, in today's day and age, for us to draw near to God, to listen, to hear, to read, to quiet our heart before the Lord. And the promise is that when we turn to the word of the Lord, that we will prosper. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. He's giving us a recipe for success. It's taking heed to the word. If you think of David, actually backing up to Samuel, when Samuel was the prophet and they had conflict with the Philistines, and then, Eli was the prophet, then Eli's sons were they were prophets, but they weren't godly people. They were profaning the way of the Lord. And the ark was stolen. They had taken the ark out to battle, and then the Philistines stole the ark. And then they sent the ark, long story short, they sent the ark back. And when the children of Israel came and took that ark back, they received it in the same manner in which the Philistines sent it. And yet, there was instruction given for them to handle the ark in a certain way. So I'm just calling to your attention that sometimes we actually have the answer and we don't know it. Sometimes the truth is before us, and yet we haven't sought it. We haven't sought the Lord. So a couple words for today that I want you to think about is remembering things, seeking the Lord, or in other words, in King James, it uses the word sought, or besought, or just basically seeking the Lord. And taking heed thereto, or making a diligent search. So I want you to think about that as we go through the message here, and the consequences of us remembering things or not remembering things, the consequence of us seeking after the Lord or not seeking after the Lord, the consequence of us taking heed to the word or not taking heed to the word. Verse 10, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare your victuals, for within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan to go in and possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess. So they have this promise to go in and possess the land. And then let's just go over to chapter 4. Chapter 3 talks about that's the day, this is now 3 days later, and they're here to go across the Jordan, and they're preparing themselves, and there's instruction given. Let's break in at verse 13, chapter 3, verse 13. Verse 12. Now therefore, take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe of a man, and it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of your feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap, And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come in unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped into the brim of the water. So, for the Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest. So, picture with me a river that's overflowing. The priests are walking down with the ark, and as soon as the priests' feet hit the overflowing water, it started standing on a heap. Verse 16, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city of Adam, that is beside Saratan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. So the priests are standing in the river until all the people went through. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, take ye hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. Why is he asking them to bring out 12 stones out of the river? And ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? So here's my introduction to my message, and that is that God had them pick these stones out of the river as a remembrance, because he didn't want the truth to be lost. He wanted the truth to be passed from one generation to another generation. That this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord went past over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Just going to jump down to verse 20. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. So they took them with them. And spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in the time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. What's the significance that the children of Israel came over the Jordan on dry land? What's the spiritual parallel in your life that you have come across a river and there was dry land? In other words, a way was made for you. Do you have a testimony? And if you have a testimony, consider the parallel of that testimony and how that God carried you across somewhere you couldn't go by yourself. God made a way for you to get to some place you couldn't get to by yourself. Israel came over this Jordan on dry land, a miracle. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, and the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over. And here he gives the conclusion that all the people of the earth, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. So the heartbeat of God here is that the people in the earth would know that there is a God, that he is mighty, and that he performs miracles, and that he can do the impossible. Let's move on to chapter 5. And it came to pass, when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel, until we were passed over, that their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them any more, because of the children of Israel. And really, it's because God was with the children of Israel. That's why they were fearing. It was because God was with them. At that time, the Lord said unto Joshua, make thee sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised all the children of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And this is the cause why the Joshua did circumcise. All the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness by the way after they came out of Egypt. Now all the people that came out of were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness by the way, as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. What I was thinking about with that, actually, let's jump over to Numbers 15, Numbers 15, 37, 41. And the Lord spoke, this is back in, so this is going back before when, again, thinking about remembrance. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the border of their garments throughout the generations, that they put upon the fringe of the border a ribbon of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it, and remember all the commandments of the Lord to do them, and that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye used to go a-whoring, that ye may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. The parallel I'm drawing from here is that in the New Testament, we're called, also called to be holy. We're called to sanctify ourselves. We're called to, and sanctify means to be set apart. He's calling to their remembrance. They had a certain color coat or a garment, and it had blue on it. And it was to help them remember the commandments of the Lord, that they should to do them, that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, but to seek after the Lord. So now let's go back also to Deuteronomy. Sorry, can't. Deuteronomy Deuteronomy chapter 8. So this is in the time frame of Moses now. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years. God is continually calling to the children of Israel to remember. And I want you to think about, what is it that God would want you to remember? Where have you come from? Where are you? Where are you going? Who went before you? Who's coming after you? Will it make a difference how I live? Verse 3. I go back to verse 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, and whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man that doth live... That he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. Out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. So he's calling them to think about how it went. How did it go? He got it taken care of them. Their clothes didn't get old at that time. How has God been taking care of you? Is it important to think about the God moments in your life where you really realize that God was taking care of you, and is taking care of you? Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water and fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Be aware that thou not forget the Lord thy God, and not keeping his commandments, and his judgments, and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwell therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God. So his heart here is that, today, I was thinking about as I read that, is like, that could be today in our land, not in every place in the world, but in our land, I don't know that there's scarceness of bread. I don't know. We can go in and out, and the wheat grows, and the barley, and the trees, and the land is producing its, there's no scarceness of bread. And yet God's heartbeat here, even in the Old Testament, and I believe is even today, is that we would not forget the Lord our God, and not keeping his commandments, and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. See, when things are going well, we tend not to think about what we might need when things aren't going well. If you think of David and the lack of knowing how to handle the ark, and I've pondered that story and its reality of them not knowing the truth of the word. So they had it, they had the truth of the word and knowing how to handle that ark, and yet the influence of the enemy or the influence of the world, whatever was coming at them, it came to them on a cart. And without really thinking about it, they started handling it. They started handling God's, the ark, the way that the heathen people did. And God had actually commanded them not to do that. And he had given certain specific commandments on how to handle the ark. Verse 15, God, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and draught, when there was no water, who brought thee forth out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, with which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. It's interesting to me, and sometimes we don't know, we don't think about where we are, where we're going, and how that all relates. But the children of Israel had to go through the wilderness as a time of testing and proving. And here he's actually giving us a clue why. He says, to do thee good at thy latter end. So he was really taking Egypt out of the children of Israel and the way they thought about life and the way they did life. And he was training them in the wilderness to totally rely on God. He did not intend to leave them in the wilderness. His intent wasn't actually to leave them in the wilderness for 40 years. They would have, had they obeyed and believed, their time in the wilderness would have been much, much shorter, and yet they would have still gone through the wilderness. So I want you to think about the reality that where God wants us, and yet where God sometimes takes us, and to consider that even if now you're in a hard place, that God is considering the latter end. And it doesn't always mean that if you're in a hard place that was brought upon you or that it was all the will of God. I don't want to either say that everything hard is the will of God. But going through the wilderness does refine us, and does going through the wilderness does also bring to the surface what is in us. I'm going to call to your remembrance also Psalm 112. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generations of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there arises light and darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved, and he shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. The reason Psalm 112 is precious to me, because there's promises in there, and it also reflects some of the promises that we looked at earlier. And simply for us to take heed, to fear the Lord, to delight greatly in his commandments. I'm now going to flip to Luke chapter 1. And I want to just highlight some of the... I want you to consider the people in that were part of bringing in the Messiah. To consider that they too were people, just like you and I. And they too were living life. And yet their time in history, it was almost right. It was time for a Messiah. And yet they didn't really know that. And yet there were some of them were looking for that. Luke chapter 1, verse 11. Sorry, I'm back up here to verse 5. There was in those days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no children, they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren. And they were both now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of the incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. I want you to stop and think about the verse in where it talked about the children of Israel going across the Jordan on dry land. Here was a couple that was barren, that had been praying for a miracle, and God was going to make a way for them. He was going to make a way through that impossible place. Even in their old age, he was going to give them a miracle that, and give them a baby. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. It's outlining John's calling and his time and place in history, I want you to think about John's parents. John. So who came before John? Who came after John? What was John's purpose? We have the account where Zacharias said, how am I going to know? How do I know that this is going to happen? And then the angel answered and said, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God. And I am sent to speak unto thee, to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them, and he remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months. Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. And in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. So this same angel is sent to someone else as well. To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. Here's an engaged couple, and the woman, the Gabriel that stands in the presence of God, comes to this woman and tells her, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. She's wondering what's going on. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord shall give unto him the throne of thy father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the 6th month with her, who is called barren. Imagine that, being engaged to a man, having an encounter with an angel, and then the angel tells you that your old aunt is also having a baby. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. I don't know what it is, where you're at in life today. I don't know what Jordan you feel like you need to cross over. But I want you to know that, and I want to call to your remembrance, that the God that we serve today, the God that we pray to here in our side room, up here, wherever you are, when you're kneeling by your bed at night, that same God is also the God of these Old Testament stories. And there's different times and seasons. There's different places in life. We are not living in the Old Testament. We're living in the New Testament era. We live after Jesus came. And yet the heart of God is still for us to believe, to draw near, to obey, and to seek his face. To believe that that he hears. To believe that he wants to help you cross whatever Jordan you're facing. And we could use many different types of illustrations. Really think about being born again. You know, you could think about the children of Israel had already been delivered from Egypt 40 years prior. They had already been set free from slavery, and the power of God had already manifested in many miraculous ways. Here Joshua was in his time and in his season, after that Moses died, he was called up to go, to cross over that Jordan, to take that land. And later on, we read that God came to him and said, there's still a lot of land that you didn't take. Take back the land. And there's I don't actually know how much, but there's more than a chapter of, and it just goes and names all the different places and lands that they hadn't yet conquered. They had already, so in that particular case, they had already been delivered from Egypt, been through the wilderness. Joshua had been called to rise up. They crossed over the Jordan and entered into the land they were to take. And God came to him again and said, take the land. I've given it to you. So my challenge to you this morning is, are you entering into what God has for you? And it really starts with, I believe that as Christians, we need to learn to serve. We need to learn to give. And yet we need to learn to hear. We need to learn to reflect. We need to learn to move in to what the Spirit of the Lord is doing and wants to do. And be sensitive to his calling and direction. Because he is faithful. He is able. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you this morning and we ask because we know that you're able. Father, I pray for any that need to cross the Jordan. Father, I pray for those that are struggling and feeling like they can't overcome. Father, I pray for your supernatural power to overcome. Father, I pray today for your Holy Spirit to move among us. For you as real today as you were back there when you stopped those rivers and they stood on a heap. Father, today I pray that you move among your people. Not only here, but Father, we know that you are moving all around the world. That the time in which we live is like at the door of your second return. So, Father, we anticipate your return. We anticipate you coming back. Help us to prepare our hearts, our neighbors' hearts, the people around us, to encourage, to strengthen, and to remember your ways, where we are and where we're going. Father, ask your blessing today in the name of Jesus. Amen.